The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it forever, for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said it was a thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world, and now the ruler of this world will be driven out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death that he was to die. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Part of our nurture as we grow up is that our parents teach us the benefits of obedience. It doesn't take us a long while to notice our attempts to challenge the rules. And this phenomenon can also be observed in our relationship with God. We see this in the relationship between God and Adam and Eve, with their failure to stick to the divine rules. We also see it in Absalom, the King David's son, who decided to take power forcefully, disobeying the king, his father. It didn't end well, even when it seemed promising. My intention here is not to draw our attention to those that failed at obedience, but rather to those who succeeded at it and those aspiring to succeed at obedience. Well, the first example, there is Abraham. He obeyed God by faith and became the grandfather of countless descendants by faith. And you and I are in a category of those aspiring to succeed at obedience alongside those Gentile Greeks that were seeking to see Jesus. Just imagine, they had traveled from afar, probably tired, and still wanted to learn more about this God of Israel. How can we meet Jesus? We won't be there. We won't know about this God of Israel. And Philip became their Greek connection. And this morning I want to ask us a question. To whom in your circle of friends, the people you spend time with on a regular basis, will you become Jesus' connection? Just like Philip became the connection to them, to Jesus. Who will you become? Because Jesus is going to be seen by our lives. So you are it, the person that they are going to see. And so if we are willing to follow Jesus in obedience, God will certainly come to abide in us and we will find life. Now, to the Greeks seeking to know and obey God, Jesus responded, and this, I apologize, I'm going to paraphrase. He says, of course the time is now here. When the Son of Man is lifted up on a cross, all nations will be drawn to his presence. In other words, what he was saying, this is what's happening here. The cross is at hand. It's going to happen now. And that is why you see the nations are coming already by these Greeks after he heard that they were wanting to see him, demanding an audience to see Jesus, would you imagine? And so he's saying, here they are. It's a sign. Just look. It's a sign. When I go on the cross, it already has started and the nations are coming. The moment the saving work of God begins is the moment the ruler of this world, who is Satan, is cast out. And as a result, a lot of more people are going to find more freedom in Christ, more people finding freedom in Christ. But there is a huge spiritual battle to face, though. There are challenges of all kinds to discourage us, either adverse circumstances in our lives, trials and temptations, and it's only through the power of our faith in Christ, the power of the resurrection, that we can thrive. Now, seek Jesus like these Gentile Greeks did, and thirst for the divine, recognizing that it's only when we draw closer to a holy God, that's when we start to be aware what's wrong with us. Many times we may not even be aware that something is wrong with us, but the closer we come to a holy God, the more we get to be aware, this is my imperfection, this is my sinfulness, and then prompting us to go on our knees and asking God in every evening when you are winding down and saying, God, this has not been gone as I wished. I want to ask forgiveness. And that's when we get to be cleaned up by the divine blood of Jesus, our Lord Jesus. It begins with our will. The moment we decide to follow Jesus, and it's daily, we make him the highest authority in our lives. And we begin to learn what true obedience is from watching Jesus' obedience to his Father. Then we learn also what our obedience to God should be like. But the trouble with our obedience is when our hearts are not into it. And it's our nature. The human heart is so deceitful, the Bible says. We may begin totally committed in obedience to God, but end up not following through because of our passions and our distractions. Even the best and long-term Christian believers ought to be careful at all times, lest they get deceived by the enemy. The ruler of this world is cunning and crafty and determined to trip us as much as he can. But Jesus' work on the cross not only draws us to himself, but at the same time, he cleans us from all unrighteousness and disarms our natural capacity to disobey and to rebel against God's wishes. Unfortunately, we live in a world that is increasingly out of love with true obedience to the Father. It's a world that keeps loving the darkness more, and a world increasingly unable to hear the voice of God. That's why every moment of our lives, we are almost like in the middle with a choice to make and one decision at a time. On our left corner of our minds, the nature of our sin is calling and reasoning with us about the instant gratification. You're going to do this, you're going to do this, and it's good for you, it's going to do this for you. And about this, your status in the community, about caring about all the world considers great and desirable, and pursuing everything that the flesh desires. And on the right corner of our minds is the unpopular way, the way of prayer and true obedience to God. And we find truth, and truth that often hurt our pride. And there is Christ himself, the antidote of all the poisons that we have to receive in our lives, all those wounds we have received ever since our childhood. The new heavenly nature calls us depend on God on everything. And we begin to crucify all our wants and our earthly desires so that we can live in Christ. So keep deciding on that right corner of your mind. Although it is unpopular, it leads to life. Amen.